that these confessions of our mouths would also be the faith in our hearts. Lord, that it would represent what you are looking for. Lord, that we would not bring that which is not pleasing to you. And Lord, I pray for this service this morning, that we would not grieve you, but we would rejoice in you and what you have done. Thank you that you are faithful, that you are good, and that you do good. And we can come into this place with these songs and let them minister to you and to us of who you are. And so, Father, we pray as we continue, Lord, that we would continue to hear what you are saying, that we would continue to respond to what you are saying, so that your name will be glorified among your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Just while the band's getting their seats, I just want to apologize to the Afrikaans people. I completely forgot to get my Afrikaans scriptures this morning. So, or last night. So I don't have the Afrikaans up there today for what we are looking at. So, laat ek vir ons bid. Ek sal ten minste in Afrikaans bid, né? How's that? Dankie, Here, dat ons hier kan wees. Dankie dat U is voor ons, dan dat U saam met ons gaan. Dankie dat U gekom het, Jesus, dat U vir ons kom wys het wie die Vader is. Dat U U Gees gestuur het, om by ons te wees, om ons te bemoedig, om ons te omhels, om ons te wys wie U is, wat U gedoen het en wat het vir ons beteken. Alles wat U gedoen het, want ons kon niks doen nie. En Vader, ek bid vir hierdie woord, hierdie tyd saam, dat ons U stem sal aanhou hoor en dat ons U boodskap sal hoor en dat ons sal dit vir onsself vat en ons vir U sal gee wat U vra. Soos wat ons nou gesing het. Have it all. Here, ek bid dat dit wat van my is net sal wegval, maar dit wat van U is, in goeie grond sal val, en vrugte sal dra, tot die glorie van U naam. Amen. Amen. Some parent, there are some child shoes in the front here. I don't think it was the rapture, because there's still too many of you here. So I think it might be someone's child's shoes. I'm going to try and preach today, and I'm going to not make much eye contact with you, and that's how we're going to get through this, because it matters, the gospel that we believe, it matters the gospel that we hear, it matters on days when this day, like Hans said last week, becomes that day. It matters for us. It mattered for Santi on Thursday when I was there. In the beginning of my visit, I asked her, do you experience God's peace? And she said, somewhat. And shared some scripture with her, and I sang. There was a backtrack. And then I asked her near the end, say no rustig, and I couldn't hear what she said, and then she breathed out, and she never breathed in again. And it matters. It matters what gospel we believe. And so today, I'm going to try and get through Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23, with your help. And I trust for the power of the Holy Spirit, because we must preach the word in season and out of season. Let's read it together. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. This portion of scripture is called the false confession, right? And it's a bit scary, isn't it? When we read this, it's a little bit scary. We hear these words, sure, Lord. I mean, shouldn't we be a bit more seeker sensitive with our scriptures? And there's a danger for us. When we come to these scriptures, there's a very big danger. You know, I've said this often, and I didn't phrase it this way. It was Tim Keller who phrased it this way. And he said, there are two eternal enemies of the gospel. The one is called religion. I will obey for my acceptance. I will do for me to be accepted. And the other one is called license. In other words, I am accepted, so I don't have to obey. Right? And then there's the gospel. I am accepted in Christ, so I can obey. And sometimes when we preach the gospel, it sounds a little bit more like religion. Sometimes it sounds a little bit more like license, because we have to be there in the middle where we say, because of what Christ has done, because I'm accepted in Christ, because of his performance, I am free to obey. Now, when we read these scriptures also, we sometimes think of the guy on the cross, right? The other guy. Now, I don't wanna knock that statement that says he was on the cross and he said, you know, there's a story we tell. He comes to heaven, they say, who are you? And he says, he didn't do this, he didn't do that, he didn't do that. You know the story. And he says, no, I was on the cross with Jesus. He said, I can come here. I don't want to undo that, but what we need to remember about that story is if that guy came off the cross, what his life would have looked like. Yes, he didn't come off the cross. He died, and Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise, because his confession of faith in Christ, that he is and that he's the reward of those who seek him, his confession was true salvation faith. And so he meets Jesus in paradise. But we must ask the question, if he had come down from that cross, what would his life have looked like? And I think when we come to these scriptures, then we see what Jesus says he wants our lives to look like. When I was preparing, I preached this sermon on Thursday, by the way, already, so you're getting vision too. Because it's good news. It's good news no matter what this day looks like. I came across this quote by John Newton, the author of the hymn Amazing Grace. He said, if I ever reach heaven, I expect to find three wonders there. First, to meet some I had not thought to see there. Second, to miss some I had thought to meet there. And third, the greatest wonder of all, to find myself there. Yeah. It's a nice introduction. Why does it matter? I want to put verse 22 up, if we can look at verse 22. I think here's one of the dangers that we have in modern church and in the reality that the Christian faith has a positive outflow, right? It has a good effect on the world around us. It has a good impact. The Christian faith is a good way for families to operate, is a good way for societies to draw together. So there is a danger that we find an obsession with the Christian culture and not with the message of the cross. And so there is a danger when we look at the modern church. You know, and there's this term I heard the other day, is there are a lot of atheists that no longer identify as atheists, they identify as Christian atheists, right? Because they like the benefit of the Christian culture. And so there's this danger that we start to see the benefit of Christianity and we start to participate in that and we think, okay, it is good for business, it is good for my family that I go to church, it is good for my relationships. that's not the focus of Christianity. That is an outflow, right? And if we miss that, we find ourselves attending church. And this verse is scary because we read over it. He says here, you may say to me, did we not prophesy? Did we not preach? Right? Did we not teach? Did we not preach? Did we not share? Did we not do in your name? Did we not have authority over the demonic and make mountains move? Did we not see signs and wonders? Is what this person says. Lord, Lord, did we not? And there's a danger that we may think this performance is our reason for entering the kingdom of heaven. Once again, what we see here is not Jesus saying, don't prophesy, don't preach, don't cast out demons, don't pray for healing. He's not saying that. He's saying that is not when you enter into heaven, this is not not your qualification. This is not your source of acceptance, your performance. Right? And so we come to these verses. You know what troubles me is we actually have an illustration of someone who could say this. You know who that was? There's a guy in the Bible who prophesied, who cast out demons, performed signs and wonders. He was sent out to do it. Judas. Shouldn't surprise us. So Jesus sees Judas there. He knows what he will do. And it's something to make us just awake to what is he trying to say to us here. It's not don't confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and don't believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. But there must be a certain outflow and there's something he's looking for. There's something that a confession does when it's in Christ's performance and there's an outflow he's looking for. It's fine. We know when we prophesy and we see people free. These are good things. By all means, let's not stop them. This is just not our acceptance. This is not what we bring to the table for our acceptance. And Christ here is making it clear. What is God looking for? Not everyone. Let's look at verse 21 again. I wanted to kind of backpedal. I want to go first verse 22. See what he is saying there to us. Verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And then he says this, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And this is not doing his will for acceptance. This is doing his will because we're accepted. It's our response, right? And we see there's great conversations going on. What is God's will? What's God's will for my life? What's God's plan for my life? Now let's ask a question. Is God's will a mystery? No, it's not. It's not Genesis 1, it's not a mystery. What is God's will for mankind? What does he do? He performs signs and wonders. He makes ex nihilo, out of nothing he creates. He makes everything we see, touch, smell, hear. Performs great signs and wonders. And then he creates mankind. And he plants a garden. Shows them what it looks like. He wants them to expand this. He gives a commission. Be a blessing. Make this expand to the rest of the world. God's will is not a mystery. It's there from the beginning. His call for mankind. Let this kingdom come beyond these borders. According to my ways. And we miss that. And he comes again. He finds a man who's an idol maker and very wealthy from it. And he says to him, come out of this place. I'll take you, come to a place. And he responds by faith, says, okay. And his will is not a mystery. Genesis 12, verse 3. Do I have Genesis 12, verse 3 there, Timu? I think I do. Yes. Ooh, yeah. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This is what Abram is, God's will here is very clear. His plan is very simple. Abram, walk before me blamelessly. In you I will make a nation. That will be a blessing. This is what they are to be, And through them, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. We will reach them. And we see this is what Israel's call is supposed to be, but they miss it. They miss it. They get distracted by the idols and the things of the land. They go in disobedience. And so we see another. God does not change his will. His will has not changed. So what does he do? He performs his will. God becomes man. God the Son comes in a body like ours, and he comes and he performs the Father's will, brings back this message, brings back this pursuit. And it's not a secret. We see this theme in the shadow cast in the Old Testament. God takes a nation out of Egypt. Signs and wonders are performed. He takes them, he leads them through the wilderness, and he gives them, this is how I want society to look. Will you walk this out so the nations can see what I'm like? But they fail. And then comes the Son, and he once again, here, yeah, we've been through this now for a year. We've been through this. Matthew 5, chapter 5 to chapter 7, the message of the kingdom. It's not a mystery what God's will is. If you page and look at the headings, God's will is not a mystery here. What does he want about your anger? What does he want about lust? What does he want you to do there? How does he want his society to look? Where does he talk about divorce and oaths and retaliation, love for your enemies, giving to the needy, how you respond? It's not a mystery. God's will is pretty clear. The things that have been revealed are given to us. God's preferred will here is displayed once again. Christ preaches the sermon, and he gets towards the end of the sermon, and he says, "This is what I'm looking for." It's fine. I want to make a joke. I'm not a cessationist, but I am a cessationist. I believe that the gifts will cease. I believe they have not ceased. But if the gifts will cease, because one day we will be face to face and there will be no need for prophecy or signs and wonders, what is going to continue? What will remain? Faith, hope, love. The greatest of these is love. God wants a society that looks like loving him and loving one another. Because that'll continue. We're not going to do something different in eternity with him. Right? Face to face with him, we will see as we are seen. And we'll be perfect, mature, in an instant, transformed, in order to love him with our lives and love one another still. So yes, there will be a ceasing. You see the dilemma here, though. The one who does the will of my Father is in heaven. We come to that. I'm troubled when I hear people say, you read the Sermon on the Mount and it's meant to show you that you can't do it. I'm troubled because they're right and they're wrong. You can't do it. That's right. Where are they wrong? You can't do it. Because Christ can do it. And if our trust is in Christ and Christ is in me, then I should grow in displaying his kingdom around me. Christ in me, the hope of glory, should bring glory to his name. His will is that it looks this way. A society that is looking like that. Loving one another the way he wants us to love one another. It's awful quiet in here today. But we're not done, so it's okay. I know this is tricky, and that's why Jesus doesn't finish there. I want to go to verse 23. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. It's not a very encouraging verse, but it's going to be very encouraging this morning. because there's a key in there. If we see that God is not after our performance, he wants a response. You know, Paul says to the Romans, he says, I am an apostle called to preach the gospel to the Gentiles for the obedience of faith. God's will has not changed. He wants us to reach. We are the Gentiles that have been reached. He wants to reach us and to continue to reach through us people to talk about what Christ has done, to share this good news of what he has done in your place, his performance in your place, and what it means for you here, how you can receive that same spirit and follow the one who is looking for this to be our story. He wants this society that looks like us coming to maturity in Christ-likeness. Right? And so, it's not a mystery. I want to read a scripture that says it a bit differently. In Romans, if we're looking at verse 23 now. In Romans 8. I love Romans 8. I often just have something from Romans 8 because it's like my comfort blanket. Romans 8, verse 2 to 4. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, weakened by Adam, weakened by Israel, weakened by us, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. These verses ask this question. If you are born again, if you have confessed that Jesus is Lord, what spirit are you born of? I want to see it in your life. If that guy came off the cross, what would it have looked like? I want to see it in your life. No, Lord, I have performed these things. And he says, no, hold on. I'm looking for something else. I want to see the will of my Father done. You say, but how does that happen? Romans 8, by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and these troubling words, and for sin. We think Jesus was on the cross for our righteous deeds to receive them. He was there. He walked there. He was placed there. He remained there. For what? For our sin to be placed on him. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And so on him is placed all our sin. We sang now, Jesus have it all. And most of us were thinking, Jesus have all my good deeds. Jesus is saying, I came for sin. I came to wear it on the cross. And I came to face what the Father poured out on that. And so we find ourselves, this is why I had this picture of these keys on. Because we should come to a place where we say, Jesus is Lord. Right? This should be our confession. What Jesus? It's not the, remember the Pharisees were waiting for a Messiah. They didn't want this one. Which Jesus do we want? Where does the Jesus in the scripture go? Sometimes he visits a Pharisee's house, but you know who finds him there? A sinful woman. And Jesus is like, this is what I came for. Bring it to me. What does he say to her? Your sins are forgiven. How could it be? He knows what he's going to wear. When he was naked on the cross, he was wearing our sin. And he says to her, go in peace. And we read over that. It's very clear here in Matthew 7, verse 23. And I will declare to them what? I never knew you. How, what is he saying to us? He's saying the same thing he said in verse 21, just in a different way. He's saying, I came for your sin. I came to wear it, but now you still hold on to it. We want to bring to him our performance. We want to say, Lord, look at how well I did. Look at how righteous I am. Look at how good I prophesied, preached. I led the worship. There were 1,000 people. Lord, how good was that? And he says, I wanted that room where you were watching the pornography on your own. I wanted that room. You didn't let me in. I wanted to know you there. I wanted that place where you didn't forgive. I wanted to come in there. I want to know you there. This is what he says. Depart from me. I will say, depart from me, because I never knew you. We say, no, Lord, it's a relationship with you, right? That's a Christianese. It's a relationship with Jesus. It's true, but it's also not true, is it? What is a relationship? Say, Jesus, here's a key to a room I'm ashamed of. Here's a key that you can go in when you want and you can take out what you want. I know it stinks in there. And he says, I came in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. I came for this. And we say, Jesus, have it all. And this is what he wants. Because when we let him know us there, when we let him know us in that place, what happens? We see it. We say, Lord, that is hectic. That's pretty gross. He says, yeah, it is, but I wore it already. We say, Lord, please forgive me. He says, I have. It is finished. We say, Lord, I repent. I don't want that to be my story anymore. He says, I know. I came so it wouldn't be. So we turn. And we ask, Lord, what does this look like? What is the better story here? What is this? What is your resurrection? I know what your cross means, but what is your resurrection? What does the empty tomb mean for me here? It says, it means my power is available. And you know what the outcome is? A life that pursues God's will. The outcome of a life that gives Jesus all the keys and says, come into whatever room you want. Come and know me here. And that responds to that. It says, Lord, you've taken it. It's yours. You can have it. I'm no longer under that. That life comes in and it starts to say, Lord, where's the life? I'm no longer angry. How did this happen? Well, it happened because I let you into the room. You took the key. This fly wants to go somewhere. Hebrews 4, verse 12 to 13. You say, actually, let's look at Isaiah 53. It's not going to be up there. You're going, no, Greg, that's not cool. It's not what it says. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Not the good deeds. The mess. I mean, this is not a... I was like, Lord, am I going to preach today? And then in the worship, here's the message again and again and again. Bring your mess. Let him know you in it, because in that he comes and makes that exchange, which he already did on the cross, and he applies it. And the Holy Spirit comes and says, oh, you let him into the room. This is great. I can apply his performance in your life. You struggle with anger. There's good news. I let you in here, Lord. The Holy Spirit says, and now you turn from that and you follow me, and I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to give you the ability. Self-control is the fruit of the Spirit. This fly is going to test mine. Hebrews 4. I want to encourage you with Hebrews 4. Because you're like, no, I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. Hebrews 4, verse 12 to 13. For the word of God, that's Jesus, not the scriptures. These are the scriptures. Jesus is the word. Okay? Easy. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow. Are you comfortable? And discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart, he sees it. And no creature is hidden from his, that's the word, sight. but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. You cannot hide that room from him. He already wore it on the cross. How much of your sin was coming when he was on the cross? All of it. He wore it all. Right? He's seen the room. And here's the invitation. Will you let him in? Will you let him know you in it? Will you let him know you in it? Will you let him know you in these things? Let's look at some of these titles again. Will you let him know you in the room of your heart that's called anger? Will you let him know you in the room of your heart that's called lust? In the room of your heart that's called divorce? In the room of your heart that's called oaths? Retaliation, my rights. The room that's very empty called love your enemies. Will you let him know you there? Will you let him in there? Because this is what he wants. He wants to come in there and he wants to see us free to live for him, free from that shame, free from unforgiveness, free from bringing our performance as our acceptance. Because it matters. The alternative, if you don't give the keys, if you don't give the room, the alternative is you decide what Jesus can have. Exile be slate. Jesus has a word for that. Exile be slate. Exile be slate. Of that van toepassing is op my. Ek sal besluit. Sy woord daarvoor is working lawlessness. It means you're a law unto yourself. Jesus is knocking at some rooms and we say, no, Lord, look, I preached a good sermon. I led this worship. Look how impressed you should be. And he says, this one, I want to come in. So no, I won't let you in there. Don't want you to know me there. What if it comes out? It's out. It was on the cross. I'm going to stop there. I think I made the point. I want to know you. It's what Jesus says. We're like, okay, how do I respond? Here's how we respond. Same way we always respond when we hear the good news of what he has done. I confess, this is not according to your will, God. This thing here, this obsession, this pastime, this relationship is not according to your order. I confess it. I call it sin. I repent of it. I put my trust in your performance. Lord, I put my trust that this was not how you lived, so this is not how you want me to live. So I turn from it and I say, there must be power for me to live this way. And the good news is there is. The Holy Spirit is the power that raised him from the grave. How much more can he bring life to your dead body? Right? And so we say, Father, I want to walk in this direction. I'm going to do it imperfectly. You know why? Because we're still here. But I'm going to do it trusting that you will increase in this area. And the testimony will be to the glory of your name. Right? Let's turn to one another. I want us to pray for one another. Has everybody got a mic next to them? Let's pray for one another. We're going to pray the following. We're going to pray the following. We're going to pray, Father, that you would show my brother or my sister where you are knocking. Okay, that's the first thing you're going to pray. Can you remember that? You're going to pray for your brother and sister. Just, Lord, show them where you are knocking. And then you pray for your brother and sister to respond by faith. What does that look like? It just means I surrender. Respond by faith. I give you the keys, Jesus. You can come in whenever you want. And then thirdly, I pray for you, brother and sister, to live in that, to live from there. As you hear every time Jesus asking, can I come in here to this place and know you? You would say yes by faith and know that he has his record to give you in that area and that you would live from there. Let's pray for one another. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters as I pray for myself here, Lord. It's not a good sermon, but I pray it's your word and it's your gospel. And I pray that there where you are knocking on my heart, I would as well respond. I pray for my brothers and sisters to hear your knocking on rooms that are not displaying your kingdom message to the world around us, that are not in accordance with your preferred will for mankind, Lord. Let us hear your knocking, Jesus. The handle is on the inside of the door, not on the outside, Lord. That we would hear your knocking and we would open up. That we would not just sing, Jesus, have it all, but we would say with our lives, Jesus, have it all. Come in, hear the keys. I don't want them anymore. Come as you please. Father, that we would respond by faith, because it is all by faith. Trusting that when we open that door, Jesus will come in, the real Jesus, the resurrected Son of God. That you would come in, Jesus, and dwell with us, that you would come and tabernacle in our hearts, that you would come and dwell in these places that we have held on to. That you would come and know us here in this place. I want to know you in these places. I want to see your resurrection power change this story. And I pray, Holy Spirit, for myself and my brothers and sisters here in this room, that you would come upon us, that you would come and apply what we receive by faith because of what Christ has performed, that you would come and apply that as we continue to confess, repent, and put our trust in Jesus, that you would come and apply his record, his righteousness in our lives. That in our imperfect way, we can bring glory to the name that is above every other name. I'm going to give you a minute to pray for your brother and sister. I want to end with this verse from Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Jesus speaking to people like us. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the Ecclesia. Will you stand with me? Let's close our eyes. Father, we thank you that in this place are hearts that you are aware of. You are aware of every room in every heart, and you are committed and you are faithful to come in. If we open the door. And so, Lord, I pray for us that we would be those who are quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to get angry, that we would respond every time to your invitation and let you have what you already wore and buried and left there, and that you are no longer wearing. Thank you that you are raised to life. And in your presence there is life. I pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, and that the Lord would turn his face toward you and give you shalom, that you would walk in his name to the glory of his name, according to his will. Amen. Amen. If you still have a need for prayer, you are welcome to come to the front. There will be some of the intercessors and small group leaders to pray with you, and the rest, you are welcome to get coffee.